This podcast replay is brought to you by East Coast Public Adjusters. Leaky roof? There's only 10 months left to open your Irma claim. Don't settle for less. For free inspection, call East Coast Public Adjusters at 855-GET-ECPA.
All right, let's go. Let's play Brian Flores. Kick it off.
Take care of their bodies in season. Fitz has obviously done that along with, some other quarterbacks throughout the league. It's a tough position to play. I know that. You guys take a lot of hits, stuff mentally, physically, emotionally, and, not everyone can do it. So we're happy with the way Fitz is playing right now, but we've got to continue to play that way.
You had, 40 passes, 20 runs, wildcats and trick plays, most points in the season, most yards. Is that sustainable? Do you think you guys can really sustain this next four games, especially with how you guys are at the running back position?
The offensive output or the... Okay. I think it's... Look, every week's different. We've got a lot of challenges this week with the Jets and their style of play and good run defense. They've been playing well defensively, I would say, over the last 4 weeks. Every week's a little bit different. So, we'll try to game plan and scheme up a few things to put our guys in the best position. If that's wildcat, then it's wildcat. If it's, 40 passes, like you said, it's 40 passes. If it's the run game is working, then we'll do that. But every week's a little bit different. So we'll just try to, like we always do, we'll try to, play to our strengths, try to take advantage of their weaknesses, and try to play a good offensive and really good ball game in all three phases.
What do you attribute the improvement in the red zone offense to?
Practice and execution and, players making plays in those situations. We had a couple guys, Devontae, Mike, Patrick Laird, in the red zone in this league, you have to make, the field's condensed. So you got to make good throws. You got to make good catches. It's a tight coverage. It's harder to run the football down there because the safeties are right there. It's. I think we've got guys. We practice well in the red zone. We're having better execution in the red zone. But at the end of the day, players got to go up and make plays as well. So we've had that.
Brian, I know different sports over the years I've encountered when a team is not in playoff contention anymore. Sometimes management will ask the coach to see certain player. Don Mattingly mentioned that to us last year. That Marlins management said, "Could you play these guys so we can take a look and evaluate them?" Does that happen with Chris at all? Does he tell you, "I'd like in the final month to see maybe a couple of this young guy, et cetera"?
Well, Chris and I, we have conversations, like that all year. So that would be no different than it's been the entire season. We're trying to move. We've had as many guys play. I'm not sure of this, but as many guys as anybody on the in the league. So we've taken a look at a lot of guys. We'll continue to take a look at different guys and see if, what combination is the right combination, what different guys can do with different groupings, and try to give guys an opportunity to see if they can help this team, this particular week and also in the future. So I think that's something we've done all year, and we'll try to continue to do that.
What can you tell us about Bellage's injury and if it's very serious and could affect him in 2020?
Kalen obviously went out, leg injury. Look, if this were earlier in the season, I think, we'd be able to get him back, just because we've got four games left. We decided to put him on IR, but, serious, to a degree, but, this isn't a 6 month or, even 4 months. I mean, I think, if this were earlier in the season, we'd put him down for a few weeks and, hopefully get him back.
You've mentioned on occasion how special Coach Mangiero is.
Mangiero,
sorry. Yeah, the pronounce. As you head home to coach a game on Sunday, can you reflect on sort of the impact he's had on you and where you are today?
Well, it's not just me. I mean, there's a lot of guys who went through, you know, the program there, our high school program in Brooklyn, and, you know, now he's coaching in New Jersey in modern day. So he's impacted a lot of young men, and, you know, I think you learn a lot about life playing football. You know, I've told a lot of people this. Everything I learned to be successful in life, I learned in those meeting rooms and that on that practice field in Brooklyn. And from him. So hard work, great effort, compete, preparation, being on time, and just overall doing things the right way. So it'll be nice to see him this weekend. And it's always great to see him and, you know, his family. And then, you know, hopefully we'll get some of the guys from high school.
You know, is there one specific thing that he may have instilled in you that you still utilize when you're out there on the sideline to this day?
I mean, there's a lot. You know, if there's one specific thing, I mean, look, he was big on being mentally tough, obviously being physically tough, but being mentally tough and dealing with adversity and dealing with good times and bad times, and you know, never get too high, never get too low. You got to try to stay even. I mean, that's something that I've taken with me since, you know, 1995 when we first met. So he's a great coach, and I was lucky to learn from him, along with a lot of young guys.
You anticipate going back to your childhood home or having people from your childhood come to the game this weekend?
Yeah, it's a kind of a long ride from Jersey. But you know, I was in Brooklyn, you know, this past summer, so it's hard to get back down there or back up there. But there's a lot of good people there, and I learned a lot about, you know, I got a lot of life lessons growing up in Brooklyn, and there'll be some friends and family there, but I probably won't get a chance to get back there.
Brian, what is it about high school coaches and the impact they have? Because you see guys get to the NFL, and a lot of times you can ask them who had the most influence on your life, and they'll talk about their high school coach, even when they get to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Sometimes those guys are their presenters.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, that time, you know, 14 to, let's call it 18, mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, I mean, kids are going through, you know, those adolescent years and trying to find themselves, you know, as men. They're right in that maturing process, and you know, that mentorship, that leadership, that the impact that's made in that time, I think it goes a long way to shaping a young mind. And you know, that's why I have so much respect for high school coaches in all sports, you know, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, you know, men's sports, women's sports, I mean, all of it. I mean, there's such an impact that's made, and it's something that, you know, the lessons, you know, I learned and kids learn on the high school level, I think they take with them really throughout their lives, and I think they get shaped in a way that is positive, and that's always a good thing.
Have you gotten messages this year from your high school coach or your coaches, you know, maybe through some of the highs just that maybe made you smile?
I mean, yeah, I talked to Dino a lot. He's always got words of encouragement. But, you know, whether it's college coaches, you know, other coaches I've worked with, you know, I've gotten a lot of messages, and I've, you know, I've gotten support in the good times and the bad times, and those are your real friends, and the people who are people who are going to support you, you know, good and bad, and it's been nice.
Ryan, regarding the Eric Rowe contract extension, what was it that made you guys want to make sure that he stayed around?
Well, Eric, you know, he's a versatile player. Obviously, he's played multiple positions this year. Again, another conversation between Chris, myself, Brandon. Just felt like we had an opportunity to, you know, redo the contract or extend the contract is really what I was thinking of saying. Do the extension and look, if we feel like that's the right move on a particular player, they're all case by case, then we'll try to get it done. They don't always get done, but in this case, you know, both sides were able to work it out, and you know, we got it done.
You play corner and safety, but what is it about his strengths and skill set that have actually worked out quite well with safety?
I think he's got good length. He's a good matchup for, you know, tight ends and coverage. And still got a ways to go from a run game standpoint, which it's hard to, you know, that. You know, going from, you know, corner run fits to safety run fits is very different and something that, you know, he's picked up quickly, but he's got some improvement to make there. But he can also, you know, still go out there and play some corner as well. So we're not saying that that's out of the, we're not doing that. So he's versatile. He's played some, you know, deep half, middle field safety. You know, he's played corner safeties and kind of understands the run fits now. So that versatility helps, you know, will help us defensively, and hopefully he just continues to improve. And we expect that. We expect him to improve. And, you know, we wouldn't have, you know, done the deal if we didn't think that.
Did you have any picture of what this team would look like by the end of the season? And are they on pace to be that?
No, you never really have a ideal, picture of what it's going to be. Every year's different, and, you know, there's so much, you know, change on a team every year, whether it's, you know, through transactions or injury or so. I never have a, hey, look, I want the team to look like this. You hope everybody stays healthy, and, you know, the team you put out there on day one is the same as, you know, week 16, but that's very highly unlikely. So things are fluid in this league, and I think, you know, we've got to be able to adapt and adjust and make the best of, you know, whatever situation comes up. And I think we've done that to a degree, but we're still learning to do that, and this team's still growing and trying to improve and build. And I think if we just, you know, stay on that path, then we'll be okay. We got a tough game this week. You know, the Jets are a good team. They're talented. They won 3 of 4. They got good coaching. They got good players. And look, this is going to be a tough challenge for us. So we got to go get. You know, we have to have a good week of practice. And, you know, if we want to give ourselves a chance to play well. So.
Final question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's the head coach. Did he, with a straight face, actually say good coaching on the Jets side? All right, I get it. You got to try to sell the Jets. Yeah, you know, they've won 3 of 4. They've got good players. They've got good coaching. Huh? Huh? I know. He's got to say that. I get it. The coach has got to be PC and say that Adam Gase can actually coach when you and I know he can't coach through a paper sack. We all know that Adam Gase sucks. Okay? Bottom line, Adam Gase blows.
That's right off of Belichick press conference 101.
That's it, baby. Talk everybody up. They could be playing Samford High School, and they're like, yeah, Samford, you know, those guys are awesome. They're undefeated right now in 2A. They're going to give us everything we can handle. Yeah, sure, coach. Good coaching, huh? It's a good joke by Brian Flores to talk about Adam Gase that way. It's a good joke on his part. Maybe, you know, Brian Flores has got a future as a stand-up comedian. Now, when Barry Jackson asked him if the GM tells you who to play, and, you know, he was using the Marlins and all that good stuff, I'm going to be interested to see what he writes about it, because at no point did the coach ever say that he tells you what to do. Because I don't think that there's always been conversation since the beginning of time with the front office and their coaches or manager or whatever sport we're talking about. Because you both are watching what's going on the ice, on the pitch, on the field. You know what I'm saying? And or on the diamond. And you have to discuss about this player or that player. And then you discuss how to handle this player or that player. Because, like, I'll give you an example. I'm sure Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, they're having their conversations on how to handle the Dion Waiters situation. But then the other conversation on how to handle the minutes between Dragic off the bench and somebody else, it's a whole different kind of conversation. But it's had. And it's something that you need to talk about. But is it a directive? No. That was what happens with Al Davis. That's what used to happen with Jeffrey Loria. That's what happens with Jerry Jones. Right? These are the kind of owners that are meddling. These are the kind of people that are going to get in the way of your coach and do things that they... Dan Snyder is going to do the same thing. Whatever he's in love with, you're going to have to roll with it, whether you like it or not. That's just the landscape. I would hope, because the way that Flores described it, it's a conversation. And that's a normal thing in all pro sports. And at no point was it ever said that it was a directive on who to play. No, it's a conversation on, hey, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? I don't like this. I like this. I see this. I don't see that. That's
just
what it is.
Just making sure you're seeing the same thing and you're on the same page and we're together.
That's it.
If you're not having communication, oh, is this pretty much you're gone. If
right.
we're not really talking and there's no communication between personnel and, yeah. and the coaching staff, right?
Right.
There's something broken down and it's just a matter of time before somebody's gone.
Unless it's Belichick. That you're both. So you don't
have
that.
Both hats. Right.
Right. Well, so the only conversation
could be. But he may have a conversation with himself.
No. He probably does. But with the owner is probably what he has. But those are rare. And those are Antonio Brown. It's, you know, it's big problems. Everything else, Bill will handle. However he sees fit because he's earned that right. Whereas here, it's going to be a team thing. And by the way, just to kind of. Let me elaborate a little bit more on what I think also happens. It's not just Greer in that room. I believe Marvin Allen's in that room. I believe Reggie McKenzie's in that room, along with Brian Flores. I believe those four men are in that room talking football. And they're all talking about what they see, they don't see, they like, they don't like. Because think about this. Okay. I love all this stuff because to me, I have a little insight on how this kind of stuff is done. And do you think you're going to be able to tear down a team to the bone without the coach knowing? You think that conversation hasn't been had? I mean, months ago. Okay, Chris Greer and Brian Flores, they mapped all this out. The only thing that surprised them was Tunsil and Fitz. That's it. That was a curve that they had to adjust, okay? And then we'll see if they drive it out of the park. That's the next thing. It's you're waiting for a fastball, but no, it's a breaking pitch. You thought fast, oh, I got to hold off a little bit and wait for it to break so I could get it. That's the problem here. And that conversation's already been had. They continue to have these conversations. Just like Kalen Ballage. He just told you the injury's not career threatening. It's not a long-term injury. But it's long enough that the 4 weeks are not enough of a window that he'll be healthy. So put him on the IR and he's done. It's a conversation they probably had. He didn't just put him on the IR. Chris Greer and the staff, they probably sat down. What do you think? The trainer probably came in and said, you know, it'll be a stretch to get him healthy for 4 weeks from now. All right, so then what are we wasting our time for? Let him just rehab next year. He'll come into training camp. He'll compete with everybody else. All those conversations, what Brian Flores said today is not earth-shattering. There's no news in it. whatsoever because it's normal. It's what normal football teams do. It's what normal football structures go through. Because there's a personnel guy and there's a coach, right? And there are two different jobs, but they both have the same agenda. You know, they all look at the game film. They all see what they're playing and practicing. And they're all also watching them on other teams before they grab them. Right before they, I can't even remember the guy's name now. Zach Zenner. Right before they grabbed Zach Zenner, trust me, they pulled in the coach. What do you think about this? Look at this kid. We kind of like him. You know, we need a running back right now. This is the next guy on our list. What do you think? It's him or him or him. They probably showed him film on a couple guys. And they all agreed on Zenner, and then that's it. That's who they grabbed. That's how you do things. That's how you actually have structure. That's how you have communication. That's how you also do responsible things, by talking about it. Mapping out. Do you know why? I thought Ron Rivera had a great line yesterday in his press conference. He said, I always try to surround myself with smart people because smart people will make me smarter. Because whatever areas I lack, I will learn from them. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of what he said. And there's a lot of that perception out there for a lot, and it's reality, that some people won't hire somebody that's equal or smarter because they feel threatened by them, that they might lose their job to them or that they might be outshined or something along those lines. If you're confident in your ability, you're not worried about that. And you will become a better person, a better leader, a better player, a better coach, a better front office executive if you're allowed you allow yourself to listen to others and feedback and opinions and philosophies and theories and everything else. And that's what goes on behind the scenes with the GM, with the head coach, with the college personnel director, with the pro player personnel director, with the trainer, with the QB coach, with the running backs coach, with the tight ends coach. Depending on what you're looking at, you're calling different people into that meeting. Because you need to get those experts. Because you're not a trainer. You're a GM. You're not a coach. You're a GM. You're not a QB coach. You're a GM. You're not a receivers coach. You're a GM. So if you're smart, you bring those people in to help you make those decisions. Because whatever you're talking about, it's going to be somebody's strong suit in that building. Use that person as a sounding board.